leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution says the Iranian nation will thwart sanctions against the country just as it has done for the past 3 decades. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei called for a resilient economy that is capable of withstanding economic pressures imposed by Iran's enemies. Ayatollah Khamenei made a call in a meeting with Iranian industrialists and manufacturers. Warned that the enemy's economic pressure is aimed at frustrating people, so they blame the government's policies. Ayatollah Khamenei said their goal is to cut ties between the government and people. However, Ayatollah Khamenei underscored that the enemy's calculations are mistaken. This, he said, because they do not know the Iranian nation. He also called on all Iranian officials to work together to bring about growth in the country.
Iran says it has attained self-sufficiency in gasoline production.
Some gasoline producers had asked for higher prices. To give them a firm response, we have started since 20 days ago to increase the production of gasoline in petrochemical units. During the past week, we managed to reach a production of 64.5 million liters per day.
Mir Kazemi said prior to the recent increase, Iran used to produce 44.5 million litres of gasoline and imported some 20 million litres to meet domestic needs. Following the fourth round of sanctions on Tehran over its nuclear program, Iranian authorities vowed to increase locally produced gasoline. Iran is the world's fourth largest oil exporter. To discuss this more, we're joined from Tehran by Qanbar Naderi, who's a journalist and political commentator. Welcome to the program, sir. Mr. Naderi, Iran has become self-sufficient in gasoline production. What signal does this send to those countries who've imposed sanctions against Iran's energy sector?
Well, the answer is very obvious. It tells the international community, especially those who are behind the sanctions, that Iran is more than ever determined to ensure that their illegal measures are not going to stop its progress and growth, and that it is not going to cave into to these illegal pressures because of its civilian nuclear program. Of course, the misunderstanding is that Iran is trying to reach self-sufficiency in gasoline production because it intends to forge sanctions. It's not just that. Let's not forget that some of the sellers in the international market are trying to take advantage of the political difference and dispute between Iran and the West by selling their gasoline at exorbitant prices. And so Iran is trying to hit two birds with one stone. It wants to foil sanctions and at the same time to make sure that it did not import expensive gasoline from abroad.
Well, what are the U.S. and its allies trying to achieve by imposing more sanctions, despite the fact that Iranians have used sanctions to make progress in various areas?
Well, that's a good question. I think the biggest agenda for them is to ensure that Iran will be forced to stop its nuclear program activities under the UN and international pressures. And at the same time, they want to make sure that they somehow create a kind of rift and difference between the government and the people. Of course, you know that this has never been the case, and this is not going to be the case in the future. Let's not forget that this is also bad news for the U.S. and its allies, especially given the fact that the U.S. has failed in Iraq. Also, we shouldn't forget that Afghanistan is still burning and many U.S. troops are getting killed by the day. And at the same time, we should also not overlook the fact that Washington's key ally in the region, Pakistan, is underwater. So the last thing that the U.S. and its allies want to hear now is to see that Iran has made their illegal sanctions ineffective.
All right, we'll leave it there for the time being. We'll give you our thanks there to Qanbar Naderi, journalist and political commentator from Tehran there.
Iran's ambassador to the IAEA has criticized the UN agency's new report on Tehran's atomic energy program. Ali Asghar Soltania says the report, which accuses Iran of hampering nuclear verification efforts, has serious shortcomings.
Unfortunately, Mr. Amano, in his report, And the methodology that he chose, the format of the report, was somehow deviating from the past tradition.
Mr. Soltani, his pledge to bring up the issue before the next meeting of the IAEA's Board of Governors. He said the report has copied pages from the UN Security Council's latest resolution against Iran. He's urged the IAEA to remedy the problem in its next reports. Soltani also once again criticized the Security Council sanctions against Tehran. He said the UN body's involvement in Iran's nuclear issue is against the IAEA statute and has no legal basis. Soltani also said that Tehran has every right to accept or withdraw nuclear inspectors under the NPT.
Is in the safeguard agreement.
Two U.S. soldiers have been killed and nine others injured in a shooting in northern Iraq. The incident happened following a quarrel between an Iraqi trooper and an American soldier. The Iraqi trooper, identified as Rahman Saleh Wali, was also shot dead by U.S. troops. Iraqi officials say they are running their own investigation into the shooting. The latest casualties come after the U.S. announced that it has withdrawn what it calls its combat troops from Iraq. However, there are still 50,000 American soldiers in the war-torn country. More than 4,400 U.S. troops have lost their lives in Iraq since the American-led invasion in 2003.
The United States says it expects its NATO allies to contribute 2,000 more troops to the war in Afghanistan. The request for the troops comes from the top NATO commander in Afghanistan, General David Petraeus. He wants the soldiers to train Afghan security forces. The Pentagon says the request is nothing new and will not change the size of the foreign force stationed in Afghanistan. NATO member states have previously failed to provide the troops. NATO Secretary General Anders Fogh Rasmussen has said that it is unclear where the 2,000 soldiers will come from. The Western Military Alliance currently has 150,000 troops stationed in Afghanistan. About 95,000 of them are American. To discuss this one a little bit further, let's bring in Mr. Bill Jones. He is with the Executive Intelligence Review, joining us on the phone from Washington. Mr. Jones, as always, it's good to talk to you. The United States is appealing to its allies to send more troops to Afghanistan. But the question is really, what can this 2,000 more soldiers do to the 150,000 who are already there? And obviously they have failed to do.
Well, that's a good question, although it's being posed in the sense of having 2,000 trainers for the local police and local military. And, of course, they're appealing to the other countries because there is a great deal of fatigue with regard to this whole Afghanistan movement, most particularly from the European side. And I guess it's felt that if they were in this kind of training position, it wouldn't seem as bad as any other type of deployment. But it's not clear exactly what they were going to do, and there have not been a lot of volunteers in the last few hours, last few days. So it's not clear where they're going to get them from. But it's not an overwhelming number, so they may be able to pull this together. But what effect the additional 2,000 troops would have on the situation in Afghanistan is still very unclear.
Right. Where do you think the war in Afghanistan is headed, Mr. Jones? We are hearing reports that the Taliban have gained ground in the four corners of Afghanistan despite almost a decade of war there.
Well, obviously, this cannot be won militarily. Everybody says that. At the same time that they're increasing the number of troops there. But it's an obvious fact. The real question is, how do you create a political solution to the chaos in Afghanistan? Obviously, there are a number of ways that I'm sure discussions going on behind the scenes with regard to how do you bring in the so-called moderate elements of the Taliban into a discussion, into negotiation, so that they become a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. I don't think that's entirely clear at this point. But I think the realization is growing because, as you mentioned, there is an increase of the Taliban activity in spite of the 150,000 or so troops that are there, plus the fact that there is a growing fatigue on this side of the Atlantic with the American deployments in Afghanistan. So they've got to find some kind of a solution in the political realm because everybody knows this is not going to be won militarily.
Many thanks, Bill Jones with Executive Intelligence Review in Washington.
Now, the United Nations says floods have affected over 21 million people in Pakistan. The UN says more than 10 million people are left without shelter in the country. The world body says this according to new estimates following more flooding in the southern province of Sindh. It says the floods have become the worst humanitarian disaster in Pakistan's history. At least 1,700 people have also been killed by the weeks-long floods, which have engulfed an area the size of England.
Give you some news of the economy now. U.S. stocks have once again plunged amid concerns over the European banking sector. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost more than 107 points at closing on Tuesday, and the Nasdaq Composite Index also shed about 24 points. Last week, U.S. markets closed after their strongest week in 2 months. However, investors once again lost confidence over fears about the global economic recovery. This after the Wall Street Journal reported that stress tests on European banks showed they held more potentially risky government debt than believed. The report also underscored concerns that the recovery of the European economy is more subdued than hoped.
You're watching Press TV, a recap of the headlines. Iran's leader says the country will continue to thwart sanctions. The U.S. calls on its allies to send more soldiers to Afghanistan. And the U.N. says millions remain without shelter in flooded Pakistan. And U.S. stocks fall amid fresh concerns about European banks.
Just ahead here on Press TV, we're going to be telling you about largest family in Gaza.
The Austrian Freedom Party has once again caused outrage by launching an online game featuring the shooting of mosques and imams. The game has been slammed by President Heinz Fischer as a tasteless joke, and the case has been sent to the Attorney General for investigation. Press TV's Eva Manasieva has this report.
After Germany, Switzerland and the United States, it is now Austria's turn to be the scene of a hot debate on constructing mosques and minarets in the country. In Austria, however, the issue went too far. In a move that caused outrage across the country, the far-right Freedom Party, known for its anti-immigrant and anti-Muslim views, launched an online internet game called Mosque Bye Bye. The more mosques one destroys and the more imams one kills in 1 minute, the bigger score they get.
First time I saw it, I couldn't believe my eyes. It's such a disgusting thing to do. Of course, we are used to this kind of dirty propaganda by the Freedom Party, but this is overgoing all red lines that you could possibly think about.
The Austrian government, however, took immediate steps. The game was stopped and taken off the virtual space, and the issue has been sent to the Austrian chief prosecutor for investigation. The anti-Muslim campaign of the Freedom Party was harshly criticized by the Austrian president, Heinz Fischer, members of the parliament and even by the UN Secretary-General Ban Ki-moon, who called the game Islamophobic and totally unacceptable. However, the game is still accessible through a US server, despite the efforts of the Austrian government to close it down completely.
Our justice system here in Austria is working, and what is more important, the public, be it politicians, be it civil society, all of them are in one line saying no to this kind of hate speech.
The debate on the mosques and minarets is nothing new to Austria, but this time the overall opinion is that the Freedom Party crossed the red line. The game was part of the election campaign of the party ahead of the municipal elections in Vienna in October. Analysts believe the Freedom Party, which surprisingly came third in parliamentary elections in 2008, is going to lose a significant number of votes this time.
We already saw a couple of years ago in Graz, again a Freedom Party member, Susanne Winter, made blasphemous comments about the Prophet Muhammad, and she was slammed by everybody, even by the Catholic Church, and brought to justice. So this time, too, there will be consequences for the Freedom Party.
The man most directly involved in the Freedom Party's anti-Muslim message is party leader Heinz Christian Strache, who is also his party's candidate for Vienna mayor.
And while Strache has been skillful in keeping the mosque dispute in Austria alive for several years now, it appears, even for many of his supporters, that he might have gone too far when he decided to push the button on mosque bye-bye. Eva Manasieva, Press TV, Vienna.